Last week, we looked at Jesus Christ versus the New World Order. Do you remember that one? We talked about some of the plans and schemes of the evil ones of our world, those who are being called the global elites, those who are scheming about this New World Order. And we talked about how we are going to get the ultimate victory in every way in Jesus Christ over them. But you know what? It's also going to be a hard fight in these next several years, to be sure. For the plans of these people, these New World Order people, are quite evil. And it can be quite troubling to us when we search and discover and research these things, if that's what you do. The evil that they're devising can seem very daunting. The things that we must fight and endure and conquer. And so, as we consider these things, it is quite alarming because when we look at these people, they seem to have a lot of worldly power, don't they? So much at their fingertips. It might seem to us that they are the tigers and we are the kittens. But today is Pentecost. We're going to talk today about who really is in power. Who really is holding all the cards in this fight? Who really is over whom? Who is the tiger and who the kitten? We have a good word today. That's why I love preaching. What does God tell us today about this great fight of the ages that we are in, that we are experiencing today in the next number of years with respect to the power of the Spirit that is in you? Good word for us today from the Lord. What can we say of this, though? Who really is on top, you know? Who is holding all the cards? Who's the tiger and who's the kitten? At first glance, we got to acknowledge that it seems like they're the tiger and we're the kitten. Like they're over us and we're under them. These global elites, as they're called, these world leaders, these non-Christian world authorities. Why? Because, you know, count the ways. Number one, they got lots of money. Do they have lots of money? You look at the Gateses and the Soroses and the George and the Zuckerbergs and the Schwab and the Rothschilds and the BlackRock and Vanguard, you know that art? These people, they basically own all the money in the world, almost all the money, if not all the money. Secondly, they have positions of authority. You know, they're in all the high positions, most of them anyway, of governments, courts, military, corporations. You're seeing that all the day, coming out more and more. Education. Seeing that, and in churches, a lot of the liberal churches, they're infested in the high places too. Thirdly, they have great worldly resources and technology on their side. And Bill, you might like this one. It's like they have the Death Star, right, from Star Wars. They have this great technological terror that they've constructed to rule and dominate the world, namely all this internet and phones and controlling and manipulating and all those kinds of things and nanotechnology and they control basically the world trade. You know, they control the supply lines, as we're seeing, the food and the water and even baby formulas. They can turn on and off at will the production of such things. You know, they got a lot of power. You can look, number four is that they also have great worldly cleverness and devilish wisdom. You know, they're very cunning people. They're very crafty, and they're able to make schemes and to have keen deceptions, to manipulate large portions of the world to gain advantage for themselves. They're very cunning. They're very crafty. So they seem to have power there. Fifth, they have certain spirits behind them on their side of power, namely demons. This is what Paul talked about, what he said. We're not contending as Christians against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So they've got a lot of spirits of might on their side, creatures of darkness. Then they also have the devil on their side, and we know that the Apostle Paul, remember Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5, he says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. Say that again. We know that we're of God, and we know that the whole world is in the power of the evil one, says the Apostle John, until Christ comes again. So we have to contend with these people. And it can be kind of alarming to us when we estimate the battlefield by means of the eyes of the flesh. Who is holding the cards? Well, it would seem to us at first glance that they're the tiger and we're the kitten. But let's consider the battlefield that the saints have always been on over the course of history. You know what? These are always the same odds that the saints have always had, haven't they? They always seem to be over us. Since when did the saints ever hold worldly positions of power? Since when did they wield great financial resources and technology? Since when? We're facing the same odds as they did in the old days. Moses fought against Pharaoh. All he had was a stick in his hand. Pharaoh had armies and money and worldly authority and government and powers. That was the battle. That was the odds. Elijah faced Ahab and Jezebel. They too had all the money. They had all the worldly power. They had all the might. 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah that sat at Jezebel's table. David went into battle against Goliath, and who had the muscles, right? Who had the armor? Who had the loud boasts? Who had the threats? Who had the scary intimidations then, the greater armor? It was Goliath. Daniel faced the king's men that were cunning and crafty, and they used unjust laws in order to catch him and to cast him unjustly to the lion's den. Jesus, our Lord, fought against Caiaphas, Pilate, and Herod, and they had all the power, right? They had all the worldly authority. What did he even have? He had a tunic and a pair of sandals. That's it. Apostles were fishermen, uneducated, faced the world elites, the global elites of their day, the Jewish authorities. And Luther faced the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, and the worldly wielding sword of the Pope. And who was he but a penniless monk? So what are the odds, if you look at the course of history, the saints have always been in the position we're in now? They have all the worldly power. They seem to be over us. They seem to be the tigers and we the kittens. But if we look at what happened, we judge things differently, don't we? Because when we look at the saints, how did they fare in each of these contests? They won every stinking time. Shouldn't say stinking. They won every glorious, victorious time. They came out the victors. Moses conquered Pharaoh. Elijah bested the prophets of Baal and Asherah. David smashed Goliath. Daniel rose victorious out of the lion's den. And the conspirators, evil, who conspired against them, were cast in and devoured, eaten by the lions. Jesus triumphed over Caiaphas, Herod, Pilate, sin, death, and the devil. And he rose victorious and brought liberation to the world, the salvation gospel. The uneducated fishermen of the apostles bested the Jewish authorities, and Luther won the war against the emperor and the pope through the preaching of the word. They won every time. And so my point is, how are our odds any different? Are our days actually really different? Are we just seeing the same old story working itself out again in history and even in greater ways towards the end of time? Well, as I said, according to the flesh, if you think of it according to just what your eyes see, the global elites, as they're called, seem to have the upper hand. They're on top. They have all the chips. They're over us. But according to the eyes of faith and according to the truth, who is in the driver's seat now? Today is Pentecost, where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised he would send us. I ask, who are the tigers now and who the kittens? Let's think about that for the rest of the sermon, how the Holy Spirit makes us the tigers. For if you think of it, number one, the Holy Spirit says, consider this, you have a greater spirit in you than they have in them. Amen? Who do the enemies have? They have evil spirits, they have demons, they have the devil. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 6, worldly powers and things in spiritual places. Jesus said in John 6 to the Jews attacking him, the world authorities of that day, you're of your father the devil. So they have the devil, the evil one, a murderer, a boaster, a liar, a fallen angel, a fallen angel. Who do you have at your head? God himself, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. Say, the Spirit of God. He makes you the tiger. A greater one is in you. Jesus says, I'm going away. He told his apostles, none of you ask me where you're going, but because I've said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. Advantage that I go away. For if I don't go, the counselor won't come, but if I go, I'll send him to you. He is an advantage to us over all the power of our enemies in every respect. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God himself, God's own Spirit. Who can stand against you if God is in you and for you? Who's the tiger? Who's the kitten? The world cannot receive him, Jesus says, because it doesn't know him, it doesn't see him. They can't receive him, but you know him. He dwells with you, and he will be in you. A greater Spirit in you than the one that's in the world, Jesus says. And he was poured out at Pentecost. We just read that so beautifully. Good job, Ian. When at Pentecost, they were all together in one place, remember? And then there was a great, mighty, rushing wind and tongues of fire over them. And they were filled with power. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. They went out and saved many. Jesus said, in so many words, that the tide of war in the world between good and evil will change on the day when the Spirit arrives. When he comes. And that indeed did. Ever since that day, the devil's been on the run and the kingdom of God has been on the march and advance in conquering conquest. That same power is in you. The same power that hovered over the face of the waters at the dawn of creation, that works miracles. You know, we have a hard fight ahead of us, to be sure, but remember this word from 1 John. Little children, you are of God. And have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I ask you, who is the tiger now? And who is the kitten? Say, I'm the tiger. Sounds like I have the tiger, but it's I am the tiger. Second, the Spirit says to you, are you in a higher position than they, or are they over you? Consider this, with respect to God on high and true height. You are of a higher status and a greater position. You hold the mountain, they the valley. It's true. Because Jesus came to purchase salvation for us at the cross. The Spirit came to apply it to us. Who are our enemies? At least, especially in this case, the global elites, that if they're after the world's evil, they are in sins, they are under wrath, and they are of the earth. Right? Who are you? By the Spirit. He preached to you the gospel, you've believed it, he gave you faith, therefore he has justified you in Jesus Christ through faith in him. You are under the peace and love and favor of God, and you are from and of heaven. So you're of the mountain, you're of heaven, they are of the earth, the valley. Who is on top of who? Here. Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless you're born anew or born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Now, the word for again or anew there is the word anathen in the Greek, which actually means from above. Jesus says you got to be born from above to enter or to see the kingdom. How can you do that, says Nicodemus? Jesus says you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. That's the way to be born from above. That's in baptism. Do you know that your baptism sets you over all your enemies? Because it means you're born of heaven, of the Spirit. You have a higher country, a loftier origin, a greater position, a higher, greater country than all of your enemies through baptism. They are from below, you are from above. They are of the earth, you are of heaven. They are really, if you think of it, mortals and you're immortals. Who wins that battle? You know? Because the Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ, you already have eternal life abiding in you. Think about that. You're immortal. Your flesh can die, but not your spirit. They can die and die eternally, spiritually. You are therefore like Superman. Remember Superman? Where was he from, Bill? Krypton. Yeah, he was from a place high above the earth, supposedly, you know, in the far reaches of space. galaxies and eons and far reaches high above everybody that was here on the earth who are born of the earth. He was born from a different place, from a higher country. When he came down, how did his powers compare with that of mortal men? I mean, it wasn't even a competition. He could, what was it? What was he able to do? He could, fast, more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You're dating yourself now if you know those answers. But you are greater as he was greater, but he was fictional. This is what I'm saying. The truth is that you are from a high country, as it were, if it were, like galaxies above them, from heaven, God's country. And therefore, you are the greater. Greater powers are at work in you by the Spirit, because the Spirit is the truth. He works miracles through the ages. He leads. He guards. He protects. He keeps. He defends. He counsels. He conquers. He wins. He gives you the victory, and he's the one that's in you. We are the tigers by the Spirit. So if you pull it out, you know, open up this, and you see a big S under here. I should have worn my Superman shirt today. Your S on your shirt, emblazoned, stands not for Superman or girl, but for the Spirit. See yourself this way, wearing that jersey, that S. The Spirit is in you. And the Spirit says, thirdly, that you're the tiger because you're not only from a greater country, but you have a greater army behind you. You know, think about this. With them is the arm of flesh. With us is the arm of God. And God is the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. How many are behind them? Well, they have demons. They have, the haunt of every foul spirit, the haunt of every foul and hateful bird. They have crows, okay? Dark creatures. We have eagles, namely the angels of God, and greater in might, greater in number. Don't you think, says Jesus, that I can appeal to my Father in heaven, and he will at once send me 12 legions of angels? Why could he say that? Because he was the king, and he was from above. You are also now royal kings through Christ, under him, but you are from above. You also can call angels to your aid at any moment. Beck and call. They're ministering spirits, sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. That's you. So if you are ever attacked in the fight and the war, we just call in the Air Force. And greater are these than those who are with them. Fourthly, the Spirit says, you have greater power in your prayers than all of your enemies. For Romans 8 says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us himself, intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And so he takes your prayers, which are already great, and he empowers and interprets them, brings them up to the throne of grace and power, and sends down mighty answers by his almighty outstretched hand. To what do your enemies pray? Do they pray? You know, they don't really believe in gods or an afterlife, or if they do and they have spirits, as some people think that they're having, prayers to evil angels and things like that, what do they pray to? They pray to money. They pray to demons or whatever. But their prayers are not as our prayers, all right? Remember Moses, when he fought against the magicians of Egypt with all their sorceries? Moses, Aaron, cast down their rod before Pharaoh, and it becomes a serpent. Remember that? Then Pharaoh's summoned his wise men and sorcerers. They also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same by their secret arts. So there is power in darkness, of course. But then, of course, Moses' rod ate up their rods. God turned water into blood, they turned water into blood. God made frogs come, they made frogs come. God made gnats come, and the magicians of Egypt said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, we're out of here. In other words, Pharaoh, you better get right quickly with his God and do what Moses says, because we are in a different league with this God. This is the Lord. Same thing in this case. They may have spirits that they pray to. I don't know. I think they do. Or at least to themselves, to such things. But you have God. And once God hits the afterburners, they cannot keep up. He blows away all the competition. That's the power you have in prayer by the Spirit. Because through the Spirit, says Paul, we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. All right? Fifthly, the Spirit says, check it out. He says, you have greater wisdom and cleverness than they have. You know, they have a serpent's cleverness, don't they? They are smart, they're intelligent, they have a devilish wisdom. But what? For what? Only for this age and the things of this world. That's where their wisdom ends. It's for finances, it's for business deals, it's for schemes and money and power and technology. Computers, computers, computers. Isn't that what we're really facing today? Their empire, the evil empire, it's the Death Star. Right? Think of the Star Wars when they had that big meeting of the brass, remember, on the Death Star, and one of the big high-ups says to Lord Vader, this battle station is now the ultimate power in the universe. Remember that scene? Lord Vader, he says, do not be too proud of this technological terror that you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force. Right? They are so proud of this technological terror they've constructed that they can track on phones and keep every tabs on everything you do and manipulate and make currencies do this and that, but that is insignificant next to the power of the Spirit of the living God. It's just as nothing. They say, our big brother watches and sees all. We say, ha! Our great father sees more. And he is recording every last little tiny thing that you do and will judge it. Therefore, you better repent quickly before he casts you into hell. Think about that. Their wisdom is devilish. What can they see? What can they know but things of this world? Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, who, what is his name? Yuval Harari. Have you seen his absolutely evil statements he said? He said that soon the great mass of the world are going to be useless workers, basically to be done away with and eliminated, most of the humanity. He says there's a great colossal flood coming of some technological kind, and we'll build our ark as Noah did, but by technology, and the rest will be swept away. They'll die. That's what they're planning. He also said, we don't need, watch this, I quote him, we do not need to wait for Jesus Christ to come back to earth in order to overcome death. He said, a couple of geeks and a laboratory can do it. They're planning on conquering death by technology. You know what? These are brainless idiots. They are a blind army. They see only the things of this world in their devilish wisdom. They see nothing of the true things of God because they do not see Jesus. They don't see that eternal life without Jesus is eternal death anyway, even if they could achieve it, which they can't. They can't see the truth, the way, the word, the gospel, the salvation, the glory of God, but you can. You're an army that can see. They're a blind army. I ask you, who's the tiger and who's the kitten now? The Spirit says next, you have a greater sword in your hand than they have. Never forget that. You have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which is my own sword, says the Spirit. They have just an earthly sword. They have brass. They have, maybe steel. But what happens when Spirit hits a sword of steel of this earth? It just turns it to powder and dust and ashes in their hand. That's the word of God. They're loudmouth boasters. They have threats. They have deceptions. But how feeble their empire, evil, must be. For they have to censor all free speech. They're afraid, check this out, of a single guy sitting at his kitchen table with a laptop. If you're afraid of that, how weak must be your kingdom, right? But for us, it's the opposite. In our ranks, a single man is unafraid of their entire empire. For one little word shall fell him, right? Mighty fortress is our God. The word of God, one little one, will bring down their whole house of cards. They know it. We know it. That's why they're afraid. That's why we're the tigers. Next, the Spirit says, and with that word, prevailing, you also have a prevailing heart I give you. You know, they're going to fall, go to nothing, become weak at the big, at the littlest little trouble. They're, because they're selfish. They fight each other in the devil's kingdom. They're filled with malice and envy, passions, mistrusts, fears. The Bible says the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest. Its waters toss up mire and dirt. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. They don't have hearts, really, for the fight. How about you? You are, by the Spirit, check it out, filled with courage, virtues, character, wisdom, a hope that does not disappoint. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is crazy. Every time the saints have matched off against the world rulers of their day through history, the world rulers are just astounded at the character and courage of the saints, even if they're by themselves. Elijah laughed at the 950 prophets of Ahab and Jezebel that were arrayed against him. They're like, how is he laughing? But he's laughing at them. And the Jewish authorities wondered at the bold, daring defiance of uneducated fishermen. How can they stand against us? They wondered, the Pope did, how can Luther dash me to pieces so easily, just with his pen? Where has gone my strength? Why cannot we intimidate this man? That's because the Spirit gives you a heart. He gives you courage and joy, endurance and laughter in all our trials, because we know we're coming out on top in the end, don't you? The Spirit says, next, consider this. You are so much richer than they are. You know, what do they have? Billions and billions and billions at their disposal. But what is that billions? It's paper. What is money? It's trees that have been cut into little thin slivers. That's all money is. Their power is in trees, which can be burned. Yours is eternal. You shall see that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. They're going to die soon. And that's, you know, why I think they're really rushing for this Agenda 2030, because look at them. They're all old as dirt. They got these big bags under their eyes. They know they ain't got much time left. They got to rush it through, because soon their wealth will be gone. They'll have to leave it to others. Their time is quickly expiring. They are men whose portion in life is of the world, but not so you. The Spirit says, your portion is in the world to come. Think about this. All that the Father has is mine, says Jesus. Therefore, I said to you that the Spirit of truth will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things I declare to you, all treasures. Peter says, we've been born anew to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. If God didn't spare his own Son for us, will he not also give us all things with him? Oh man, your riches blow their riches away. You're the tiger. They are the kittens. Their king is a fallen angel, yours an ascended God. Their mission is death. Your mission is liberation and life to the world through the preaching of the gospel. Their kingdom is a crashing kingdom. Yours is a coming eternal kingdom. Theirs about to disappear. Yours about to appear. For the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people. Christ our rock shall break in pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, the kingdom of Christ. Their destiny is down to damnation unless they repent. We hope they do. Yours is up to salvation. For God has not destined you for wrath, says Paul, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Their destiny is to go down, but yours to be raised up at the last day. For if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit which dwells in you. You're destined for resurrection glory. Who's the tiger and who's the kitten now, says the Spirit. In conclusion, you know, there's always giants on the way to the promised land. You know that. These are just our giants, our times. They are bred for us. They're going to fall just like every other giant falls before God's people. And why is that? Because this is from the Spirit who dwells in you, who is with you, who goes with you wherever you go to give you the victory. And so remember this. God says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. They're the kittens. You're the tigers. In Jesus Christ. Amen.